Starving in Siberia. Time passed. Jeffrey came home. Winter blew into town with full force. Somewhere in there was a very strange Christmas where Jeffrey got a mound of presents that was nearly taller than our tree. Relatives flew in from every corner of the country, but nobody smiled much. Meanwhile, I did worksheets. Lots and lots of worksheets. At home, I was worried that my parents would notice the massive amount of work I was cranking out, wonder about it, comment on it. But on the days Mom was in Philly, Dad was still in mute mode, and when Mom was back, she slept and my dad spent time with Jeffrey. I seriously think I could have sat in the middle of the kitchen floor rubbing two sticks together over a pile of dynamite blocks and gasoline cans, and my parents would have been oblivious, as long as I was keeping myself occupied. What nobody was tuning into was that there's a big difference between keeping myself occupied and actually taking care of myself. And I was angry. Mindlessly, relentlessly angry every minute of every day. I did all the work my teachers gave me, and I did it well. But I was so tense while I was doing it that I broke mounds of pencils, erased right through the paper repeatedly, left indentations on my desktop from writing so hard. Word got out at school about my tragic situation, and I was like a mini celebrity. Renee was instantly my pal, and Annette forgave me, as usual. Teachers were thrilled with my great new attitude and kept telling me what a trooper I was. On the rare occasions when they noticed my presence, my relatives commented about how strong and brave I was, about how lucky Jeffrey was to have me for a brother. Why didn't they try being lucky like Jeffrey for a few months? And I wanted to scream at every teacher, "Why are you making me do this stupid busy work while my brother's white cell count is so low? Who cares about listing the first 10 presidents while my brother has another spinal tap on Friday? What possible use is the FOIL method of multiplying binomials when my brother's gums are bleeding every time he tries to brush his teeth?" And I wanted to punch every kid who told me they understood my pain. Nobody understood my pain. Maybe if I had gone to each of their houses whacking random family members with a nail-studded 2x4, they would have begun to have some basic comprehension. And my parents. They were trying, but God, I couldn't even look at them without having to bite my tongue. Meanwhile, Jeffrey went bald. He lost his beautiful golden hair. Soft ringlets were all over his pillow, the shoulders of his favorite Buzz Lightyear PJs, the bathroom sink. And then one day, there was just nothing left to fall out. For a long time, he never said anything to me about it. But between that and the swelling in his face from all the steroids he was taking, he was looking horrible. Of course, the steroids also made him hyper beyond all belief, so even while he was the only person I wasn't mad at yet, he was driving me pretty crazy. He wasn't able to go to school for weeks on end when his white blood cell counts were low, so I was basically his sole source of entertainment. A typical weeknight when he was home went like this. 1. Sit down and try to do homework. 2. Get interrupted by Jeffrey.
Please play with me!
3. Ignore brother, try to do homework. 4. Get interrupted by Jeffrey.
Come on, Stephen, I'm bored!
5. Beg Jeffrey for 5 minutes of peace. 6. Get begged for 5 minutes of play.
Stephen, you never, ever play with me, ever!
7. Move entire homework operations center to different room. 8. Repeat steps number 1 through 7 as directed by small drugged maniac. I did play with him for at least an hour each night. But a lot of times, neither of us was concentrating too much on the games. I was constantly hoping for an excuse to stop playing, and Jeffrey often wasn't feeling well. It was like checkers night at the terminal boredom and nausea clinic. Also, if anyone out there ever wants to experience the ultimate and crippling guilt, I recommend that you try beating a bald, bloated 5-year-old cancer patient at a board game. So to avoid the guilt, I would spend half my time sneakily cheating so that Jeffrey would win over and over. Which also sucked because the more he won, the more he wanted to play. There's another thing for which I will feel guilty forever. Jeffrey was driving me so nuts with his need for attention that I was often relieved when he went back into the hospital. I mean, I needed the time off from him so I could catch up on schoolwork, but how hideous was that? I wished for my own baby brother to be hospitalized just so I wouldn't have to play some one-sided chutes and ladders games. I had a moment of triumph in January, when I finally handed in my last overdue worksheet. I wrote about it in English class and even read the journal out loud. Here's the conclusion of the day's entry. My fellow students, I stand here before you a changed man. Once I lived in fear, sneaking from place to place, avoiding schoolwork at all costs. My life was a tangled mass of lies and half-truths, and I thought I could get away with it. I thought I could carry on indefinitely with my schemes and deceptions. I thought I would be able to leave my homework undone forever. But I was wrong. Oh, so very wrong. Friends, there exists on this planet a delicate balance, a balance between good and evil, righteousness and wretchedness, crime and punishment. And when any one man tries to tip the scales too far, they always bounce back. Beware. Beware.